Fubar Radio presents
Nick Helm and Nathaniel Metcalf's Fan Club.
We're joined in the studio now by Lloyd Griffith. You also do impressions, don't you?
No. No, come on.
But you do, though, don't you?
I do impressions of sellotape.
Okay, so Christopher Lee is expecting Ian McKellen round any minute now. Ian McKellen is early, and Christopher Lee hasn't wrapped Ian McKellen's birthday present yet.
So it's improv.
Yeah.
I think that I would like to leave the tape up to you. Whoa.
Are you too pissed? What is going on?
Every Friday.
Nick Helm and Nathaniel Metcalf's Fan Club.
From 12 p.m.
Fubar Radio.
We are joined in the studio now by Kevin Allison of the legendary TV sketch comedy troupe, The State.
Yes.
You are in London, aren't you, Kevin?
Yes.
On Sunday at the... Is it King's Place?
Yeah, it's at King's Place. We're a part of the London Podcast Festival. So my podcast, Risk, it's a show where people tell true stories they never thought they'd dare to share in public. And we have four... really kind of jaw-dropping stories that are being shared at the show there on Sunday.
When you're saying stories that you never thought they'd tell, what kind of thing are we talking about?
Well, I mean, people have shared on Risk about, you know, a woman once shared about finding out her father was a cannibal.
fucking hell.
Yeah, people share very kinky stories. We've had stories about, you know, people eating shit. I mean, it's all over the map. It's all over the map. Now, some of the stories are hilarious, but some of them are really scary or really emotional. So it's if you go to any given Risk show or even listen to any episode of the podcast, one of the things people love about it and one of the things that scares people about it is that it can go from, like, slapping your knee laughing to... whoa, what the fuck is going on now?
Imagine,
now I'm crying in my car. Yeah.
Imagine if you're the guest who is following someone who's done a slapping knee laughing thing and you're sat there going, I'm on next. I'm going to tell a story about...
That's my job. My job as the host is to be like, okay, guys, now we're veering into very different terrain.
How did you start doing it? What was the
origin,
but I want to say impetus, but that's not a word. That's not the word for this.
Impetus? Impetus is a word, right?
Is that the word?
Yeah.
Oh, fucking hell, I've undone how clever I am by fucking not knowing the word of the word I'm saying. Not knowing the meaning of...
What's the origin of impetus?
Well, I can't get it up for a start. That's impetus.
So I was doing, for 12 years after The State broke up, my sketch comedy group, I was doing crazy characters on stage, and it wasn't getting me anywhere. Like, people weren't responding to it. You know, I had come up in sketch comedy, so I was like, well, now I guess now I do sketch comedy as a solo person, you know? You know, talking to myself on stage as different characters, and people were like, what are you doing?
The party's over.
Exactly. So Michael Ian Black, who is another member of The State, came to see one of my shows, and he said, dude, just drop the act, forget all the masks, get up on stage and tell your own true stories. I was like, oh, but I'm so gay and kinky and Midwestern and philosophical, like all these things that just feel like a weird mix. So if I was really myself, it'd be too risky. And he's like, that's the word. Cling to that word. If it feels risky, you're probably on to something. So I was like, all right, what's the riskiest story I could try telling? I called a friend. I knew she had a show where people told stories about their sex lives. So I was like, I'll tell a story about the time I tried to prostitute myself when I was 22 years old. She was like, yes, you will. And then I was terrified the day of the show. The day of the show, I called her and I was like, I can't do this. I'm sorry. It's too risky. And she was like, oh, that's great news. Because oftentimes people call me the day of the show and say, I can't do this. It's too risky. But then that'll be the story that knocks it out of the park that night. So she convinced me and I tried it. And that night, the whole idea, you know, it went over so well.
Was that a podcast or was that just a show?
No, that was just a live show in at UCB in Chelsea in New York. And I walked away from the theater that night. And I was like, wait a minute, I'm on to something here. Because I grew up, super aware that I was gay from the beginning, which is kind of unusual. Most people figure that out, you know,
from like day one or whenever you're aware of being.
Right. I grew up super conscious of, oh, I like boys, and so that means I'm a gay faggot and yada, yada, yada. So I grew up terrified of myself and very aware that I was had a secret. Like, for example, first day of kindergarten, guys started making fun of me for having red hair. You know, someone's like, why is your hair orange? And someone else said, oh, that's not orange. That's red like the head on a dick of a dog. And they all started laughing. And I was like, oh, thank God. The hair is distracting them.
Like, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Dog dick hair, that's me.
Oh, doggy dick. Looking out.
So yeah, so I came upon this idea, oh, why don't I create a show where people come out about whatever it is, you know what I mean? Like, we have shows like The Moth or This American Life in New York where, you know, people tell true stories, but they're very conscious about staying family friendly. Whereas on Risk, it's like, no, no, if you eat shit, tell us you eat shit.
How often do people eat shit on the show?
I mean, it sounds like this is the main thing that happens on it.
Well, no.
Is this a section of the show?
There's two stories where it was done on purpose, but there's lots of stories where it was done accidentally. Those are the humorous ones.
FUBAR Radio presents
Black Street. FUBAR Radio was off the chain. We had a great time speaking to everybody. We felt like we were home in there. They calling us legends throughout the whole show.
Right. And they're funny.
Yeah.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
Tuesday Takeover with Freddie Bentley and Sean Owen on FUBAR Radio.
Look who's taking over Takeover Tuesday, baby!
I'm so excited, yeah!
It's only Sean and Freddie from The Circle. What's happening, everyone?
I'm buzzing to be here with you, babe.
Do you know what? I'm really excited. I kept pointing at Freddie before we come live on air because I just know how excited he's going to be inside. He's like, his heart's going to be racing.
I'm just screaming. I'm just screaming.
I know. If anyone out there doesn't know who we are, I'm Sean and this is Freddie. We're from The Circle, the first ever reality TV series on Channel 4.
Yep.
What was it like, Freddie? It was mental, wasn't it?
It was a crazy experience. We lived in a block of flats
apart.
We didn't meet for 3 weeks and now we ain't left each other's side since.
We haven't. Do you know what? You did get a little bit annoying. But I love ya. I do love you for it. We could represent ourselves how we wanted to on The Circle. Fred pretended to be straight, and if you knew him now, he's so gay, he's like more bent than my hanger. So it's hard. I don't know how I never knew that he wasn't gay. So now, yeah, we're best mates from the show and stuff. So it was an amazing show. It's coming back this year as well, which is amazing. We're doing it in Brazil,
USA, France, and the UK.
Yeah, so big ups to The Circle out there because it's changed our lives massively, hasn't it?
Hugely.
We now work in the creative industries and all of that malarkey, but Freddie actually beat me.
I did actually come second in the show. Yeah. Sean come third. But do you know what? Sean was basically winning the whole show.
Do you know what? It was a show where every 3 or 4 days we could vote each other on how popular we were. And I did win most of the time. I'm not sure how. I think it was a massive fluke.
I don't think it was a fluke, babe. You are a genuinely nice person.
Oh, thanks.
I know. It was just me at the front, under people under the double-decker bus.
I mean, you played a good game though, babe. And talking about game playing, we've got someone very special with us. Hello, Rykard.
Hey, guys.
We love Rykard.
We love Rykard. He comes in, he's in like a bloody vest and he's looking like Hulk.
I've gone really red.
I know, you do, don't you, Fred?
I'm sweating.
You do? A little bit. Mate, that's why I wore the vest.
What have you been up to, Rykard? Have you just come from the gym?
Yeah, just come from the gym, just come from work. So
Loving life. You know. So Rykard, if anyone didn't know him, was on Love Island on seasons...
10 years ago.
10 years ago?
No, when he's joking, obviously, babe.
Right, yeah, I was going to say when he born
season
then.
Season 2, weren't it?
Season 2, yeah. 2016.
Yeah, and it says here that you was dumped with Rachel, weren't you?
I weren't dumped.
You weren't dumped?
Rachel was dumped.
Rachel was dumped, yeah.
And you left?
I left,
yeah. You still with Rachel?
Nah.
Yeah, long gone. She's too old for him. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. What are you up to now, anyway? You loving the new Love Island? Obviously, it's finished now, but...
It's so good. Like, it changes every year. I feel like this year was, like, the most controversial year you could ever have.
Yeah, it was.
But, you know, it was just great.
Who was your favourite?
Oh, my favourite was Sharif.
Sharif?
you done the boohoo thing with him, didn't
That's
you?
It, yeah.
Yeah, so you did.
I went away with Sharif and, he's just a great lad. Really funny.
Really kind, yeah, lovely.
Yeah, I've got a question for both of you, though.
Go on.
Go on.
Right, so since you've actually come off, you know, the show.
Circle.
Yeah, you know, the show. Have you met any Insta or verified, gone on any dates with any famous people?
Why are you looking at me?
Because I want to know. I want to know from the girl's perspective and the gay perspective.
Interesting question.
Yeah, I've definitely slid into people's
DMs. Have they replied?
Yeah.
I've had a few guys message me.
No, I've slid into a couple of people's DMs and they've definitely replied. I've had a few people, not naming names out.
You can't name names.
No.
Oh, can you not?
I don't want to know. I don't want to seem like a name dropper. But yeah.
Do you know what?
Actually, I have sent a nude as well.
Have you?
To a verified account. You know I have.
Oh, bloody hell.
Who?
Oh, I can't. Can I say it? No, you dare say it.
Anyway, Sean, what about you?
Do you know what? I'm not really going to be one to name drop, but James Arthur and I, this is like me.
I'm not going to name drop, but you don't need someone right now.
Do you know what? I think I don't even know what happened, how the conversation went, but like when he replied or was in my DM, like it weren't even like that. It weren't like, what are you saying, baby, let's go on a date. It weren't like that, but at all. But when that message popped up on my phone from James Arthur,
I know another one.
I could have cried. So I was like, oh my God, this is insane. So when I meet people out as well, like rapper, like I've got a magnet for rappers because I love a rapper.
What about you?
Yeah, of course I have.
Really?
Yeah, like all
Have you actually been anyone that's verified?
Yeah.
Wow.
Anyone that you want to mention?
Listen, I love to name drop, but it'll just cause like loads of controversy, I suppose.
Yeah, it will, and it's not worth it.
It'll just be like, right, God, again. But no, yeah, it is quite funny when you go out with someone that's just like normal and then you go out with someone that's like famous or verified.
What would you prefer? Because I don't know, like I personally now, like obviously before the show, I'd only ever dated like, you know, people with normal jobs. Like my proper ex was actually a plasterer and I was just working at Topshop. And then the guy I was seeing before, to be fair, is a rapper, but that's since the circle. So I don't know, like, I think now I'd sort of prefer to date someone in the public eye just because they understand.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, like, it's so 50-50 because you're like, you don't want someone that's like...
Yeah.
Like all involved in it and using.
There you go. It's hard. It's hard.
Like, I went on a date with a guy a couple of weeks ago, and he was like, "Oh, I really want to get on the circle." And I thought, I can't believe you just said that to me on the first date.
No,
it's made me feel physically violated.
I've literally gone on first dates before, and they're like the girl's like, "So you're going to take me sheesh next?"
Like, no, because you're known for sheesh.
You love sheesh.
Listen, I love sheesh and sheesh.
You
loves
were going to take me to sheesh.
I know, babe, but listen, you want to go to Sunday?
I'll take you to sheesh, babe, because I've got the plug as well. Do you know what I mean?
This girl, I've never known anyone to love a plug as much as Shannon loves
the
plugs.
I actually had, I tell you what, the ultimate plug. I had a hotel. I'm going to say it on air because I just don't care, right? Oh, that rhymes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Lyrics. I had a plug in Amsterdam, right? So I went away in Amsterdam at the start of the year, stayed in the most beautiful hotel. It was insane. And I paid for it and everything, went with my friend. And I was doing all stories naturally, as you do, and I was tagging them. When I got back, they was like, if you ever want to come back, the place is here always for you.
Oh, that's good.
So I was like, do you know what? Sweet. So a month or two later,
you went back.
The guy I was seeing at the time, he was performing in Amsterdam. So me and him went out together.
Yeah.
And we had one of their suites, the nicest room right there. Projectors all around the walls. It was insane. There was a bath overlooking Amsterdam, okay? And
I
say that we messed that room up, it was actually an understatement. Like, we seriously, and I'm actually quite disgusted in my behaviour.
You took the mick, didn't you?
Took the piss.
Naughty.
Like, the whole room was flooded. Everything went wrong. And the guy was like, you're never staying in here again. So I have learnt my lesson badly with the plugs.
Yeah, you
gets out of hand,
that.
Though, in Amsterdam,
yeah,
didn't it?
Yeah.
It does. I'm not going to make myself feel bad about it because
don't
it was
worry
a mistake.
About it,
and
I mean, the whole nation knows now. Yeah,
exactly. Just listen, don't let Sean in any of your hotels.
FUBAR Radio presents
Callum McSwiggan.
I am joined by the incredible poet and author, Dean Atta. You were recently on the cover of Attitude magazine.
I was on the front cover with my partner, Tom, and we were kissing, and they wanted to do a cover. It was a bit terrifying.
Yeah, I was
like,
about to say.
Doing the shoot, we shot outside, and we had people, like, honking, some in support, some in, like, with negative comments to make.
Oh,
like,
gosh.
Someone on a bike said, ugh. Someone in a car just shouted the word gay, and I was just like, yeah, like, that's the point. And it was really interesting because the whole team doing the shoot was like, this is the reason we're doing this.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
because
yeah.
we need to confront these things.
Every Wednesday.
Callum
McSwiggan.
From 6 p.m. FUBAR Radio.
I am really excited today. We exclusively play LGBT plus artists on this show. So I'm really, really thrilled to be joined in the studio by somebody whose music we have played countless times here at FUBAR. And that is the incredible Aaron Porter. How are you doing, Aaron?
I'm good. Thanks for having me. Hi, guys.
It's amazing to have you here. And let's talk about your music. What's the support been like from the community? Because I think the first time I saw your music, I think it was in Spotify's Out Now playlist. I believe that was where Boy was.
Yeah.
Which in itself is a huge deal because that has so many listeners and pulls so many people in.
Yeah.
But I guess what's the support from the, you know, the LGBT plus community specifically been like?
Been great. Do you know what? I love my community. I love our community. It's definitely been at the forefront of my fans or of my listens, of my support. So my heart goes out to all of those because without them it wouldn't have been exactly the same.
Yeah.
I mean, starting with the release of Boy, obviously I was going to be in that community quite obviously, you know. Yeah. It straight away was me asserting who I am as an artist and who I am as a person, or at least a big part of who I am. Being gay and being proud of that.
Yeah.
Also, it really kind of was touching in on the toxic masculinity thing and how, you know, I've been growing in myself and every year learning how I want to express my masculinity or my femininity.
Yeah.
So it does make sense that the LGBTQ plus bracket would be at the forefront of my support.
Absolutely. I want to say it's almost like brave of you to be so unapologetic about who you are and, you know, really push that out through your music. But I wish it wasn't brave. I wish that was just a normal thing to do. But I think it is something that is still so rare in the music industry to see somebody, you know, singing so openly and honestly about their sexuality. Yeah. Was that a difficult decision for you to make?
It wasn't at the time, actually. It didn't actually ever cross my mind. I've got a great manager who never actually ever mentioned anything about maybe that not being right for this and that. I think, luckily, everything kind of fell in place at the right time. I'm not in the place that I was like 5 years ago. If I was thinking about releasing music, I would have considered that.
Yeah.
But now there's just no point. There's no point trying to hide that. Yeah, it may have caused me to have a few more listeners and things, but it just wouldn't have been authentic. And the whole point of me releasing my own music is to be my own person and be true to who I am. It wouldn't make sense to try to hide anything purposely.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of music that won't be necessarily like a gay anthem or, you know, anything about being gay, but it just felt right. It just felt like that was the right song to start with, and I've not like turned back or ever felt that was the wrong decision to make, if you know what I mean.
Absolutely. And I completely agree with you, and I'm so grateful that you've, you know, put yourself out there in that way, and I hope more musicians will kind of follow in your footsteps and do the same.
Well, I mean, I also agree with what you're saying in regards to just wish that there wouldn't have to be brave.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
Like every day I find myself having to feel brave, which is a bit of a shame. Like, I mean, I want to stay like positive, but, you know, me leaving the house in this crop top, for example, that I'm wearing in Tottenham.
Yeah. It is, absolutely.
I have to pep myself up just to do that.
Yeah.
Even though I am very confident, I'm very brave, but it's just, you know, we've still got further to go.
There's still a long way to go. You look incredible, by the way. Your outfit is on fire, like absolutely amazing.
Quite a lot going on.
Yeah, but it is, as you say, it's visibly queer, and it's when you step out into the world and you're saying, this is who I am. And, you know, there are people out there who still want to discriminate against people like us, which is horrible and awful, but it is the world we live in. So, you know, just those small things are acts of bravery, even though it's bizarre to say that.
No, absolutely. It's just continuously being brave and being outward about that, I think, is important, because that's the only way it's going to change.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
I realized that years ago, that if no one does it, then no one's going to do it. And it needs to be okay. We need to be able to show ourselves the way we feel we are.
Yeah.
You know, far too many people spend too much time trying to be someone else for someone else.
Absolutely.
And that needs to change.
I apologize because I almost wore a crop top today, and I wish I had. I wish we could have been like crop top team right here. And I feel like I fully let the side down. Like,
no,
I often traipse in here in a crop top, and today I've just not done it. I've thoroughly let you down.
No, you haven't let me down at all. Because that's it. It's just like that's how you felt today.
Yeah, that's true.
Do you know what I mean? And I have plenty of days where I'm not wearing anything that could resemble something that would be outwardly gay.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is
absolutely
still ridiculous because it doesn't mean I look forward to the days that there's. I mean, like ASOS recently have done like a crop top.
Yeah,
situation.
I know. Yeah.
For which is kind of weird, and but it's not like even because it's just kind of like it's where we want it to go, isn't it?
Yeah,
we want
everyone
to be able to wear whatever they want to wear, but it is. It's weird.
It does feel,
especially when I'm in like, you know, all these girls' websites, just like checking all theirs out, and then actually there's a whole little section on ASOS. Which, well done ASOS for that.
It's great that ASOS are doing that, but I still find myself shopping in the women's section for my crop tops and things because they're so much cheaper. You go to buy a men's crop top and they're so expensive. Girls' ones like £2-3.
Yeah,
done. Nailed it.
Yeah. Girls, I mean,
she likes a bargain. I like a bargain.
Oh, me too. If you'd seen the label that I was ripping off this crop this morning, you'd be like, wow, cheap skates. But no, definitely up for a bargain. And yeah, girls, like, I mean, like, definitely do have a nice. And do you know what? Like, you can get like an outfit for like £11 on a for women, and it'd be so much more extra.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to stand here and be like digging at women getting any benefits because that's
just ridiculous, obviously.
But that you can get like a really cute crop and skirt for like £11. You don't get that. You don't get that on the men's section. And the men's stuff are boring.
Yeah.
Boring.
I guess that's the one thing women are allowed since they've had to put up with so much oppression from
men. Absolutely. And I'm cool with it because I'm going to shop with you girls.
Exactly.
You're listening to Football Radio. in one. It's plain to see, we've all got a choice. That's why I stand there and point to the sun. By step, step by step, step by step, step by step.
That's right, from morning till night.
Step by step.
Radio presents Access All Areas.
Lauren Platt, hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good, how are you?
Good, great to have you in. X Factor's Lauren Platt.
You've all grown up. I feel like you're on team.
What about this rumour of X Factor All Stars this year?
Well, X Factor All Stars.
So Louis Walsh has already confirmed some names.
Yes. I know.
Yours has been bandied around.
I heard that you have signed on the dotted line.
Well, I wouldn't say the dotted line, but it's being thrown around a little bit. Ooh. And from my point of view, I'll be honest, it's like going back to a holiday destination that you love. Do you know what I mean? Like, why wouldn't I do it again?
Every Thursday from 6 p.m. FUBAR Radio.
I have a special guest co-host with me this evening. Do you prefer Alex or Alexandra?
Alex is totally cool. Alexandra is way too many syllables.
You're absolutely right. It is. Yeah. It's Alex from Love Island 2016. 18.
Woohoo!
Yeah. Thank God. I was having to work that out then. The gossiping is already starting. Yeah. The gossiping is beginning. What is going down? I had my headphones on and you were telling me something and I couldn't hear it.
I don't know. What was
it's
going
Ricky
down?
Raven.
Oh,
Ricky Raven,
oh,
by the way.
I haven't got my headphones on.
You don't have to. You can hear me anyway.
Yeah,
it's fine.
I've sort of, because I love fishing, I've turned into like a fishing maniac. I've got a fishing clothing company. I've got a fishing book coming out. I've got a fishing show starting next year. We start filming it this month.
Awesome.
The cookbook comes out before Christmas, though. I think it'll be DVD as well.
Okay.
So you catch the fish and then cook it?
No.
Oh.
So basically, like when you go fishing, you've got to eat, haven't you?
Oh, right.
Okay. Take a sandwich.
So it's like a... Yeah, well, yeah, of course. When you take a sandwich, if you go for a week, what are you going to do?
Oh, I see. Like a fishing holiday.
Yeah, like tomorrow I'll go fishing till Monday.
Do you do that?
Yeah, I'm going tomorrow till Monday. Yeah.
I've never even heard of that.
Where do you live? Like, what's the matter with you?
I live in Muswell Hill.
Well, yeah. So you can go on a long trip if you want. Four days, five days.
So that's what you're doing in your talking about in your book then?
No, at the minute, yeah. It's just a cookbook for fishing. So different ideas that you can use, like limited amount of ingredients for. You can do it quick. You can do it on the side of the bank.
I guess you can't carry a fridge.
You've got to do
it's
it.
Like Bear
Grylls. Yeah, all sort of like that. But you've got to do it on the side of the bank.
Ricky Raven, so, the new Bear Grylls.
Yeah, well, I would like to do his show, to be honest.
That, would you?
Yeah, I'd love all that. I'm an adrenaline junkie. Jump out of planes. I've jumped off buildings. So
why?
You're nutter.
Because I just love it. Do you know what I mean? Just being that close to death, you know? No, I just
that
love
is
it.
Absolutely just, terrifying.
Yeah, but it's just fun, isn't it? For me, anyway.
If
a lot
you say
of people
so.
Probably hate it, but yeah, I like it.
But were you into all that when you were on TOWIE and that?
I was when I was younger. Then when I went on TOWIE, it sort of restricts what you can do.
On your contract, they're like, no fishing.
No, it's not that. It's just you don't have the time.
Right, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You just don't have the time to do it all. You know,
too much drama
when
going come, on.
When you show on something like that, you're just like,
Plus,
I had a girlfriend, and a lot of guys will know if you've got a girlfriend, fishing gets limited.
That's not true. You just find a girlfriend that allows you to continue doing your hobby.
Listen, I've been looking for 4 years, isn't it? Yeah, and she still ain't back. I still ain't back.
Are you just looking around Essex, though? Maybe that's the problem.
What do you mean?
I'm from Hertfordshire. He's looking
I live in Hertfordshire now. How mad
what?
Is that? I live in Bishop Stortford.
Do you really?
Yeah.
I've been following you.
No, I've had girlfriends from Newcastle, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Essex, true, Birmingham. Yeah. I've been everywhere.
He's all over the globe.
I can't find the right one yet.
I reckon you need to look closer to home.
I have. I've actually... No, actually, I won't speak.
Yeah.
Go on.
Too soon.
Okay. There might be someone in there.
No, not even... It's not even... Yeah.
Fine.
Yeah.
Just a pen pal.
Yeah, sort of, yeah.
I'm covering your back here.
No, that's all right. It's not like she's going to be listening. Oh. It's fine. She won't.
Oh. You've both got, I don't know if you call Dr. Alex a famous ex, but you both have, you know, people in your life who are kind of repute. you know, people know they are.
Yeah.
Did you see this thing today about Dougie from McFly saying he'd been invited to Ellie Goulding's wedding but decided not to go because he thought it wouldn't be appropriate?
I would never go to my ex's wedding, ever.
Even if you're friendly afterwards?
Never. Just for the respect of the groom. I wouldn't like it if my wife's or future wife's ex was sitting in the thing going... Like, it just, you know what I mean?
I think it generally depends on the relationship that you guys have got now, because
speaking from
a maturity level, I don't think there's anything wrong with it if you kind of got over the bitterness of whatever the relationship ended
well,
like.
Well, I can guarantee I will not be going to Jess or Marnie's wedding. No, and I guarantee I won't get an invite.
No, but that's so, because you ended badly.
No,
but if
yeah,
you
but
ended
but
well...
Moving
ex,
on, we haven't.
No,
we're
but
fine.
if you had an ex that you got along with and you still remain friends, they played a big part in your life. If they wanted to come to the wedding and your partner was okay with that, you would have them there.
Oh, well, that's you. Isn't
clearly
it?
Not. Well, you know, actually...
I wouldn't invite my exes to my wedding. Just to
actually...
say, everything's about would be about my wife, yeah? So I wouldn't
that's
even think
sweet.
About going, oh, shall I invite my ex or what? I just wouldn't do it. I just think it's unnecessary. They don't need to be
I
there.
Do think there are two kinds of people in the world. I think I'm more on your side, Alex. I actually made a wedding cake for my ex.
Yeah.
Like, I made him his full-on wedding cake.
Right, well, I'm friends with most of my exes.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pleased for them that they've moved on. Like, not initially. Initially, I'm like...
Yeah, but then, no, you become...
but then eventually...
You become
you know,
happy
you,
for
yeah,
them.
Yeah, then
you're
like...
You just want happiness for them. You cared about them. So you're like, well, I want you to be happy.
That's exactly
I'm
how
proud
I am.
Of you.
Yeah.
Please, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I want them to be happy. I
Ricky's not reached that stage yet.
Behave yourselves, all right? Well, I guarantee there's plenty of people out there who agree with me and plenty who agree with you.
I think that's what I mean, though. I think it's quite a split thing, right? Like, some people wouldn't, some people wouldn't. Everyone's different.
Yeah.
Never say never.
That's what makes the world go around, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Just never say never.
That is such a TOWIE learned media phrase. The amount of time I've heard someone from TOWIE say, when you go, will you ever go back to TOWIE? Well, I'd never say never. Will you ever go back to TOWIE?
Well, I've never seen... No, I'm joking. No, I think that ship's out a while ago. So.
To be honest, I think it's probably a bit poison chalice these days, isn't
it? Is it?
Well, I think so.
Why is that?
It's just not as big as it used to be, right?
Nah.
So it's kind of hard to make a name out of from your...
I miss it. I mean, it was great. We had so much fun and we went to so many different places and, you know, me just being with the cast and that, it was good. It was good fun. But, like, you know, it was a lot of stress as well, so.
Yeah. And stress played out in the media, which I think most people would be.
Oh, do you know what? I got alopecia from that show.
Really?
Areata alopecia, yeah. From
What's that?
I still
What's
have
that?
It now.
What is that?
So basically, like, little spots you'll get. So,
really?
Like, I had a bit of my beard leave. And then I think there's some on the back of my head now. And,
is that because of stress?
Now. Yeah. Just, I'm not stressed now, but it's never stopped since.
Yeah. Wow.
So I just get little patches of feet. I think, oh, fuck's sake.
Yeah, that is... when you sign up to these programs, you've got no idea what you're getting yourself into, right?
People don't appreciate the stress levels. Like, they think it's all easy. It's like, oh, look at them living the life.
Like,
oh,
champagne,
parties,
yeah.
But
blah,
I used to go Nando's and get eggs. Do you know what I mean? I get all cuts out of Nando's, I get eggs thrown at me. Like, it's just long, some of it. And especially when you're going through a relationship, because everyone's got an opinion.
Yeah.
So, like, you do something wrong, and that is it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You're finished.
FUBAR Radio presents Joey Page.
John Grant, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hi
Joey.
Do you feel you are appreciated enough in the music business? You're like a genius in music, so...
Thank you for the fantastic compliments. I don't feel particularly great at what I do, so it's always nice to hear that. I don't know, I don't feel like I'm allowed to have an opinion about that. I think I'm probably getting what I can handle. I wonder if I would be able to take the kind of attention that some people get.
Every Wednesday from 2 p.m. FUBAR Radio.
Hi, everybody. It's not actually Joey Page. It's Weird Milk. We're taking over for 2 hours. How'd you like that?
And introducing the coolest cat from Notting Hill since William Thacker. It's Emmett Cruddas, everybody.
Jeez, what an intro.
Emmett!
Thanks very much, Charlie. It's a pleasure to be here with you lot.
Oh, thank you. Thanks
lovely for coming. For the record, I think Notting Hill is a poisonous, cancerous film.
Oh, boo!
He's referring, of course, William Thacker was Hugh Grant's character in the famous Notting Hill film.
Mm. It's just such a great film, Emma.
Emmett, in a few words, why don't you like it?
Because it's false.
Oh, okay.
The Claw is right. Whenever I'm walking around my old area, and people are like, oh, can you show me the way to the Blue Door in Notting Hill? And I don't know where the Blue Door is.
You've not been exploring enough then.
I guess not.
Yeah, haven't people asked, they've like asked you or whatever.
In Notting Hill, all the time.
We're in Notting Hill quite a lot anyway. But yeah, they ask for the Blue Door, don't they?
And I don't even think it's there anymore.
Have you been to see the Blue Door since you're such a big fan of...
Well, actually, funnily enough, I can't find it.
Right, what you've got here...
Yeah. Okay. You got four clips. You're going to hate this so much. You got four clips from four different Hugh Grant films.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Okay.
You have to guess what film the clip is from.
Okay.
And right. it's only four, mull over it, think about it, and you'll get a point each time, and then we've got a little prize for you.
If I get it.
Well, no, you're going to get the prize anyway, obviously, but like,
But just try and do your best.
Yeah, so I'll try my hardest.
So let's do the sample, time to play a game again.
It's time to play a game.
Okay, let's begin. So here's your first clip.
There's something wrong with this yogurt. It's mayonnaise. There we are then.
That's from The Poisonous Notting Hill.
Well done.
That's okay. 1 point out of four. I mean, all right, so then we have our next clip, our favourite clip by far.
Fuck me, absolutely enormous panties.
Hello, mummy.
Do you want it again?
I'm worried it's from the sequel.
Hello, mummy.
I'm worried it's from The Edge of Reason.
Oh, he's so good! Play it again.
Let's see if you can get sequel vibes.
Fuck me, absolutely enormous panties.
Hello, mummy.
It's the first one, isn't it?
It is!
It is the first one.
Wow, you're
2 points. Out of four, amazing. Okay.
Much like the UK. Bridget Jones has to choose between two awful Tories.
That's good.
It's right.
And
Number three,
here you go.
He's been taken to pieces every day of the week, you darn fucking hippie.
This is a tough one, isn't it? Zach as well. Do you know?
No, I wouldn't have a clue what that's from.
He didn't sound that young, so I'm not going to say it's like Four Weddings and a Funeral or something like that. Mm. It might be from Love Actually. It might be from About a Boy. Maybe.
Whoa.
I'm
running out of Hugh Grant films. I know it probably wasn't from Maurice, although that's a sick film. You should check that out.
Maurice.
I'm gonna call it for About a Boy.
Oh, he's three of three. It's down to the last clip now. So you're on 3 points. You could have 4 points. And if you do get 4 points, we have got very very good prize for you.
I'm going to do it for Hugh.
Okay. Here we go, everyone.
Do you think after we've dried off, after we've spent lots more time together, you might agree to not marry me?
Is it Four Weddings?
Hooray! Oh! It's too good.
Is that four or four?
That's phenomenal.
I don't like any of those films.
Yeah, but you clearly
doesn't look like it, Emmett.
From where I sit, it looks like you're a massive fan.
I just clocked it from the rain sound.
Yeah.
And then
there's
that bit where he says, or she says, oh, it's raining, I hadn't noticed. And it's like
a
thunderstorm.
Yeah. It's a great film.
That sounds good.
So you smashed that.
Great.
You absolutely destroyed it. And we've got a prize. And you know, Zach and Charlie especially have been working really hard at this, and
it was really difficult.
I sent like so many emails and
pulled a lot of
phone calls.
It's been weeks of admin,
but it's all worth it for you, Emmett.
What?
This is your special prize.
Emmett, it's Hugh Grant here. I just wanted to say happy birthday. Go get 'em, Tiger.
Oh. And that's Hugh on the phone for you, Emmett.
Wow. So happy birthday, Emmett.
That is unbelievable.
So if you didn't know, guys, that was Hugh Grant we got on the phone for Emmett there.
And what we said to him was, but Hugh, it's not Emmett's birthday. And he said, that's all I'll do. So
insisted.
So that's what we've got.
Can you save it and in 9 months, can you send it to me when my birthday comes around?
Of course. So anyway, well, happy birthday, I suppose.
Yeah.
Sorry for parring your career, Hugh Grant. I think you're a national treasure.
FUBAR Radio presents
Harriet Rose. Alakai Harley, welcome back to FUBAR Radio.
Hey. For me, the only thing is that, you know, with the whole female thing, I don't want it to be like, oh, oh my gosh, girl power. That is what it is, but we don't have to, like, really say it. Just, like, smother it all over there because then it becomes cheesy. Yeah. So I want it to be like, forget the gender for a second, make it an amazing, it's a hit. So, and it's a hit because it's a hit, that, not because we're girls.
But that is really interesting what you've just said, because I call myself a female DJ because it's putting me in a niche that is beneficial for me. But it's interesting that you don't want to use that niche because you're like, nah, we're just good quality performers and artists.
Every Thursday from 4 p.m. on FUBAR Radio.
Dizzle AP is here.
How you doing?
I'm all good, thank you.
I was just discussing all your triumphs of this year. It's been a very exciting time for you. Dropped the EP last week.
Yeah.
We were going to play, the newest one, Life of Mine.
Yeah.
But also big fan of Cash Machine, because I know that was the other single.
Yeah, that's the first one to drop.
I love it. I like all the songs, to be fair. Like, it's definitely a mixed bag, which means it's kind of showing off all of you. It's called Silver Lining.
Yeah.
Now, you said Silver Lining is because you personally see the silver lining in things. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it is. It's just like every cloud has a silver lining. So I've just learned in life to just like see the positive side of everything. No matter what the situation is, I always see the positive side and always take positivity out of it. So that's why I decided just to call the EP Silver Lining. It just fitted nicely.
Yeah, and you've got Silver Lining on there as well, along with Gucci Bag, Life of Mine, Cash Machine and Pull Up.
Yeah.
As I was just saying to you a minute ago, it's a showcase of who you are, isn't it?
Yeah, because I mess about with different tempos, so like you get to see what I'm really about. Like you get to, like, I show my talents really on that, because it's just like I can do this, I can do that, and I can just put together a body of work, and I'm just mixing tempos together, and it's just really sick, man. So it was fun working on as well. Like, yeah.
And what's the reaction from your fans been? Because I know you dropped it last week. What's the reaction been from everybody? Have you had good feedback?
I can't even lie to you. It's been mad. The feedback's been crazy. Like, it's been mad. But one of the things that I noticed is, like, obviously Cash Machine being my first single is doing so sick right now. Like, I can't, like, big up everyone that's supporting Cash Machine. But a lot of the music industry wasn't feeling Cash Machine.
Really?
Yeah. And it was a shock because I can't lie, like, a lot of the fans and the supporters love Cash Machine. Like, it's like their favourite track. Everyone's saying to me, yeah, Cash Machine's the best track on the EP. But yeah, same way it's getting bare love. It's just, yeah, it's crazy.
Gucci Bag's got that same vibe as Cash Machine. Like, it's got like a boot, like it's a banger, you know?
It's jumpy, it's grimy.
Yeah,
like.
Yeah, yeah. I like that one too. I like all of them, but those two are the ones that are kind of like party.
Saying energy.
Yeah, energy vibes. But then let's chat a little bit about Life of Mine, because it's a very beautiful one. It's a little bit more of an emotive track. And I feel like it's giving a bit more of a personal aspect of you. Is that right?
Yeah, like Life of Mine, like when you listen to it, it's just like you get an insight into like what my life was like before, like I sort of met Jamma and before I kind of took music seriously. So it's just like, when you listen to it, it's just like my little story, like, you get me? So it's just, yeah, it's personal, yeah. It's that real rap. Yeah, yeah. It's
that. Well, you just touched on BBK's Jamma, Wave and Jagger. Mate, what a banger.
Yeah.
I'm still banging it now. Like, it is so, and your verse is so sick.
Oh, thank you.
And I saw on your Instagram, you were, was it a Hennessy party, you said?
Yeah, a Hennessy event a couple of weeks ago.
And it went off, and he like, pulled it up because it was so tight. He wanted you to do it again.
Yeah, because obviously Heartless Crew was there as well. And then I got that lyric about Heartless Crew. So it's just like one of the moments, and it was the first time they've heard it as well. So it was just one of them sick moments, man. But yeah, that tune's a classic, man. Like, we made that tune like a year and a bit ago. And like, everywhere we perform that, it just goes off. No matter where, no matter how, no matter what the situation, it just goes off. Every time.
And you said that Jamma has been quite good with giving you advice and helping you learn about the industry. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, like, Jamma, ever since I've linked up with Jamma, like, it's just been crazy. Like, he's just been there to just, like, guide me and just give me advice. And, like, even when we're in the studio and we're making tracks, it's just, like, the vibes and the energy is just so, it's just so sick. I rate him for what he's done, innit? Like, he's helped man a lot, so I have to big up Jamma every time. It's like a love thing. It's a family thing. So it's crazy, yeah.
Do you feel like that's normal in the industry, in the music industry right now, that people are doing what they can to help the up and coming artists and the youngers and people who are, you know, coming up like they were at one time, you know? Or is it quite few and far between? Is that situation with Jammer something that happens a lot, or are you really lucky?
I don't even think it's a lucky thing, but I think Jammer's just real. I just think he's just one of them guys. Yeah, it's not even that he can see talent. He's just he can see talent, obviously, because obviously that's what he's good at. He's a pioneer in that. But genuinely, like, he's just a good guy. He's just leveled, isn't it? He's just down to earth. He's just real. Like, if you don't like your energy, he will say, "I don't like your energy. Stay far away from me." You get me? But yeah, man, he's just that guy. Like, with the music industry, I don't know. There's a few like Jammer in it. Just put it that way, innit? There's not a lot of people like Jammer in the music industry. You get me? Like, that really care about like someone else's music. You know what I'm saying to you? Like, it's weird, innit? But yeah, it's like that, man. The energy is just real. So yeah.
Do you think that will help you for the future to do that for other people? You know?
Yeah, 100. Like, for me, like, it's all about putting like my ends on the map now. I'm from Luton, you know what I'm saying? So there's not many people from Luton that have like made it, you know what I'm saying to you, like that. So I'm trying to make it normal, the norms for artists is just to come out of Luton. It's like, yeah, the artist is from Luton, he's sick. Like that's my aim. That's the goal.
You're putting Luton on the map.
That's the aim. That's what I'm trying to do right now.
It's not just about the airport. It is about musicians.
I'm feeling like I'm the Fresh Prince of Luton right now.
Listen, I'm here for it. Right now. I'm here for it.
Yeah, so that's what we're doing, man. So yeah, like, it's all about just motivating people and encouraging people and just spreading that energy and the greatness.
Fubar Radio presents Michael Payne and Marcel Somerville.
The fucking king of R&B for me, Donald Jones, man.
What you saying? You know? Appreciate it. Love ain't going nowhere. That's universal. That's God.
Yeah.
So that's not going anywhere. You know what I mean? We can all get sex and all of that. You know, we can talk about that, but the love, the makeup, relationships, breakup, those things, that's going to happen.
Yeah. So my friend Millie says, I want to know why he doesn't make music for us anymore. Who have I got to sleep with to get a 2019 joint?
I don't know who you have to sleep with, but I mean, you will get a 2019 joint, that's for sure.
Michael Payne and Marcel Somerville.
Every Wednesday
from 4 p.m. Fubar Radio.
Kabaka Pyramid is our third and final guest, no, fourth and final guest of the day. Thank you so much for joining us, sir.
Blessed love. Greetings.
I was just going to say, or in fact, I did already say when the mics were down, that we've completed radio because we've got the sort of holy trinity of the new school, like, you know, reggae artists, yourself and Protégé and Chronix. You've all passed through the hallowed walls.
Congratulations.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, man. It feels good.
Thank you for helping us complete it.
Honestly, man, it really is an absolute pleasure to have you. But this isn't at all your first time in London, is it?
Definitely not.
You're a bit of a regular now, aren't you?
Yeah. We often come and do shows, promo. You know what I mean? It's an important city for reggae music. So
absolutely.
We have to come and represent. You know, I have family here too, so.
Nice. So do you not need to waste money on Airbnbs and hotels and all that? Or do you still ball out a little bit?
I mean, sometimes it's still up. You know what I mean?
You need your space.
Yeah, sometimes you have your space.
You take a day or two
and you go, you know, make sure your family good and thing.
Yeah. Absolutely. What's your favorite thing to do when you come to London? You have one?
Well, I just did my favorite thing for the first time on Sunday, even though I didn't get the result I wanted, but I went to the Arsenal Tottenham game.
I saw the red and I was like, it's true. Why would any self-respecting person support Tottenham? Come on, man. We should have definitely won that game.
We should have.
Yeah, no, for sure. We deserve to. We had the chances. You know, it was a shame. But, you know, it was my first time watching a game in England. So
yeah, that's nice.
It was good game to watch, you know?
For Arsenal fans, it's the best game to watch, you know what I mean? For sure.
NLD, man, you can't, there's no better game than the North London.
Every time I come to England, I try to watch a game, I ask people to get tickets for me. Okay. They always say, oh, it's hard to get tickets. So I just end up buying tickets myself this time.
Yeah, of course.
You know, just never wait on nothing. And just took my cousin, you know, it was his birthday Wednesday.
Brilliant. So, nice birthday present. Yeah, is he a neutral? Is he a Gooner as well?
He was a Gooner on the day, but he's Chelsea.
Oh my God. I can appreciate that though.
Yeah, I hear that.
It was. I kind of appreciate how he, you know what I mean, how he dealt with the situation. Because as a Chelsea fan, he was in it with me. You know what I mean? Because even when the second goal scored, It's like this white guy was sitting on beside us, and it's like everybody just excited and the trio were just hugging each other.
That's honestly, I think only two things can get you doing that: music and football.
Exactly, brings people together.
Races,
everything. Yeah,
absolutely, absolutely. Apart from like the idiots, you know, that kind of.
Yeah, you hear about this thing going on with Lukaku over in Italy.
This is exactly what I was gonna go on to.
And even Rashford them with the penalty and Pogba them is
disgusting.
Crazy.
It's disgusting, you know. But you know, there we won't let them kind of
ruin the
something
joy.
So special. No,
exactly,
you know?
The beautiful game. Eh?
Absolutely, the beautiful game, 100%. But on to music. Were you over here for Notting Hill Carnival as well?
Yes, definitely. Yeah. We didn't do anything official there this year, but
yeah, because you were there last year. I was
2 years ago.
2 years ago, Toddler T, wasn't it?
Yeah,
Toddler T. I was right next to you.
We're actually shooting a video with Akala. The song I did with Akala, we're shooting the video for it. So
brilliant.
You know, that was the whole vibe 2 years ago. And this year we did SW4 with Chase and Status.
Brilliant.
On the Saturday.
You just collabed with them, haven't you, as well?
Yeah, just collab with them. Yeah. So that was pretty big for me, you know, and yeah, definitely getting some exposure, doing some different type of shows with them.
Of course, because
summer.
SW4 will be something that as a is it something that you wouldn't be used to as a reggae performer?
Definitely not used to it. But it was good to see, you know, how much people come out for, you know, the jungle vibe.
This is the thing, because it's all music. It's all reggae is the ancestor of all of this shit.
Exactly.
You know,
the grandfather.
Absolutely. Or still active pups, you know, just having bare kids still, you know.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
No,
some of them are first generation, straight after reggae, you know? Yeah, so yeah, I don't even see it as a grandfather. I just see it as a father, like active still, you know what I mean?
Exactly, still around and well.
Yeah, 100%, 100%.
No, sure. Fubar Radio presents... Ian Molesworth.
Got a very sexy boy on the telephone.
Ooh, okay.
We're joined now by Dave Spiker. Hello, mate.
God bless you for that.
Yeah, a very sexy boy.
That takes me back.
Yeah.
Do you remember you used to get the girls up in the corridor and in the studio and you go, I'm the man your mama warned you against. What?
Every Monday.
Ian Bolesworth.
From 4 p.m.
FUBAR Radio.
April Pearson joins us in the studio now. We're going to talk about the film Tucked.
Which is actually coming out on DVD and all the digital next Monday, on the 9th. We've got a little event for that. It's already done its cinema thing. We're going to the Ned.
Ned.
Soho House own it, don't they? Yeah.
It's like I'm not sure. Is it
in London? It's London, right?
Oh, yeah. What are you barred from Soho House for?
It was actually someone else.
Same for me.
Whoa.
It was someone else.
I was part of a discrepancy, and it wasn't me, but there was lots of the C word bandying about, and I was... Thrown out
and what, like a lifetime ban? Or?
Well, I was actually just in the middle of discussing my membership as it was happening.
Yeah. Right,
And the guy just sort of took his business card out of my hand.
Wow. I don't think I would want to be a member anyway.
What happened to you?
I've told you before, it was Johnny Vegas'
stag do. Oh, it's Johnny Vegas, yeah, it was years ago. That makes sense.
So it wasn't me, it was Johnny Vegas standing on tables and shouting.
But you're back though, because the Ned is that the one, it's in London,
well,
right?
I'm trying to go in under the radar, so let's not talk about it on the radio.
We've sort of done that
already.
So I'll know about it and then we'll be like, but they'll be too busy thinking, do you know what? Yeah, Johnny Vegas is barred from it because he's definitely been back.
Yeah,
They've got bigger things to worry about.
They were very clear. They were very clear that night. Right. There was no argument at all. It was very clear that we were not welcome there, not just tonight, ever.
ever again.
But Johnny has been back there, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Exactly.
Definitely. Fine.
Well, there you go.
Exactly. And you've got an event on there. What are they going to say? They can't come in this event. They won't say that. So the Net, the event's on Monday at the Net.
Yes, exactly. And we're all going to be there and no one's going to be banned.
No.
And we're not going to dance on the tables and Johnny Vegas can't come.
Some people might be stood outside.
Good point. Make sure that Johnny's
just
on the area.
Just text cigarettes with you and just go, oh, I'm just outside smoking. I'm not allowed in.
I'm on my phone because you're not allowed any phone in there, are you?
Exactly.
Two props. I'll
take a phone call. Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, Tucked. We made Tucked. And I think because it was... You know, it was at the time it's quite difficult to get funding for a film that was about total minorities and it wasn't particularly commercial. We made a rom-com at the same time, and so the investors invested in two films.
Right.
And that's called Tracks, and that's just finished the edit. It's kind of doing a festival run now. Premiered at Romcom Fest in LA earlier in the year. And then there's another three after that, one of which is the next one on your list.
Yeah.
How exciting this is.
It's
terrifying
it's
as well.
It's basically what you do when you're not winning Oscars like the rest of Skins.
Mm. Oh, mate, don't
do
that.
Oh, no.
Guys, It doesn't stabs me in the heart.
Don't say that. Do you know
why?
What?
Am I not in Game of Thrones?
Right, here's what I'll say to you.
He hasn't got an Oscar for that. Joe Dempsey hasn't won an Oscar for Game
of Thrones. I don't even know who that is.
He was, I can't remember his name now. Chris in Skins.
I don't know who he is either.
Do you watch Game of Thrones?
No.
Well, then, doesn't matter, does it?
I won't
he's
watch
Gendry
it.
He's Gendry in
principle.
Game of Thrones.
Don't ever watch it.
Because of all this business, I won't watch it out there. What I'll say to you now, right? And I bet you this is true. I bet you anything this is true. If you hooked them up to a lie detector test and all that sort of thing, you put them under actual... If you properly studied them people and you asked the question, would you rather be in what you're in at the moment or would you rather be creating stuff yourself that's independent, that you've got full creative control over and you're actually creating something out of nothing, you are fully responsible for it, I bet you anything that all of them, no matter what they said publicly, that all of them would go, I'd rather be in charge of my own destiny. Bet you anything.
I tell you what, I've never looked at it like that.
I bet you they would. Grass is always greener, isn't it?
Yeah.
Grass is always greener.
Yeah.
So it's like, I have to have that conversation with myself all the time, where you sort of go, there's comics doing this show or that show, whatever, blah, blah. It's like, no, I'm making a fucking film.
Mm.
I'm in a film. It's not, I don't have to twat about on panel shows. I'm doing a film. That's far more, and it's my creation and blah, 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 blah. So I do. I choose to think about it that way.
Yeah.
It's actually a far better thing on your CV than they're on whatever. I'm not even messing.
It's just because he doesn't like Game of Thrones.
I've never seen it.
I don't think it's for you anyway.
Well, that's contrary to what most people say to me. Most people say that they think I would love it, but I don't know if I would or not. Got no idea.
I watched it. It was all right.
I watched about four series.
I only watched it to the end because I felt like I had to.
Oh right.
Previous colleagues turned up and you were like, "Fuck this."
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I've got that with.
I
have that with every program on television.
I would never watch anything ever again.
Isn't that awful? It ruins it a bit though, doesn't it? Do you know what I think? It ruins telly a bit.
Listening to Football Radio. Just a loveless song.